Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not news to you, obviously, that we are entering right now into the darkest part of our calendar year. Right now, we only get about 9 hours of sunlight each day, and that time frame of light, it gets shorter and shorter. We lose about 3 minutes of daylight continually for the next month. And I'm a huge fan of winter. It's by far my favorite season. I love the cold. I love being in the snow. I love hiking outside and all the gear. I'm a huge fan. But even I can admit that darkness of this season, it has a big impact on us, right? That darkness and its increasing rate, the lack of sunlight, it impacts us physically and mentally. And maybe you feel this too. In this season, as we get adjusted to this darkness, we feel more sluggish. Right? Maybe we are moving a little bit more slowly. Maybe we are less motivated. Maybe your temper is a little bit shorter. That darkness, it feels like this enemy that's just always increasing. It's always growing, and it feels like a weight that's hanging on to us. And even if we don't recognize it in ourselves, each one of us craves sunlight. Right? We crave to be in the sunlight, and we need that. We need that for our physical and mental health. Today on Christ the King Sunday, we're going to talk about darkness and light and how Scripture uses these pictures and applies it to us in a spiritual sense. It applies to our faith. And in our text specifically for today, we're going to talk about how Christ our King has called us out of the domain of darkness and transferred our citizenship. So we were citizens of the domain of darkness, but He has transferred our citizenship to be citizens of the kingdom of light. We're going to talk about though how even though we are citizens of the kingdom of light, how that darkness is still a temptation to us, right? That darkness still calls to us, and there's a temptation for us there because of the anonymity, the secrecy that darkness offers to us. So we'll talk about how we resist that darkness in light of God's grace and how He forgives us for when we do fall into that temptation. So let's read our text here from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. This is on page 4 in your bulletin. The Father rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and all things hold together in Him. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things he might have the highest rank. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. And dear Heavenly Father, these words are Yours, and so we know that they are the truth. And we ask that You would increase our faith through them. Amen. So this domain of darkness that the Father rescued us from, it's this world. Right? And so the domain of darkness is a domain that's full of evil and sadness and heartbreak and terror. And so that's not news to you either, obviously. We look at our news feeds, we look at the news at night, it's full of the terrible things that people do. It's filled with that sadness and that heartbreak. It's full of sin. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about the domain of darkness. We're talking about sin. And sin loves the darkness, because sin knows that it can hide there. If it goes unnoticed, if it goes unseen, it can be unpunished. And so that's why sin loves the darkness. And this sin, this domain is what we are born into. It comes to us so naturally. And evidence of that is in little kids, right? So you have a little baby and they look so innocent and so sweet, but you don't have to teach that little baby how to be selfish, do you? That comes so naturally to even little tiniest kids. You don't have to teach that little child that if somebody's in your space, if someone makes you mad, if somebody takes something that's yours, that a reaction is to hit them. Right? Even a little baby who has never seen anybody hit anyone will lash out in anger at someone who offends them, at someone who does something mean to them. But on the flip side of that, qualities like honesty and integrity and hard work, qualities like patience and forgiveness, those are learned traits. It takes years or decades to plant those into a child's heart. And so all of this is to say that our world, as it stands, is a broken world. And we can make that judgment just based on the evil things that we know about, on the hurt and the wickedness that we see. But the truth is that darkness works, right? So if sins are done, if the acts of evil are done under the cover of secrecy and we never know about them, it really does go unpunished. That's why sin loves darkness. And in our world, we can say that the world is broken, even though we know that there are so many evil things that happen that we don't know about. Murder, for example, in our country, in the United States, 40% of the time it goes unsolved, which was a shocking statistic to me. Car thefts. If your car is stolen, there's an 86% chance that the person who stole it is going to get away with that. Only 14% of the time are people who steal cars caught and punished for their crime. Sin loves the darkness because it can hide there. We know that in the darkness, if our sin is unseen, there's less of a chance that we can get caught for it. And even as Christians, we find in a perverse way some comfort in that. Because we know that we too are broken, right? We know that sinful nature is ours as well, right? We know that there are things inside of us, thoughts that are evil that shouldn't come out of our mouth. We know that there are things that we do that God despises. But we also know that if I can hide those things, if I can hide my selfishness, if I can hide my sinfulness, if I can hide my brokenness, then I can look to all of you as if I am a perfectly moral, totally upstanding guy who has never done anything wrong, right? But if we do that, if we hold our sin in the darkness and hold on to that and continue to live in that and just hide that away and don't deal with it, if we don't bring that into the light, what kind of life does that lead to? It leads to nothing but a life filled with guilt, a life of despair, a life of emptiness. And this world, this domain of darkness, has nothing else to offer us but that. All right? Because if we stand and we live in the darkness, we search for a cure for that brokenness. We look for something to fulfill us. We look for something to satisfy us. And we cannot find it in the darkness. Right? Even if we don't know it, what we crave is the light. We crave the light of God's grace. That's the only place that we can go for that satisfaction. That's the only thing in this world that will offer us that cure for the brokenness that our hearts crave so badly. And that's why this text is such great news for us today. Because it's not that God will rescue you. It's not that in the future he will defeat all of your enemies and take you out of this dark domain. It's that he has already done this. He has already rescued you. Our text says, the Father rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So this transfer happened when God gave you the gift of faith. Okay, whether that was through the word alone or whether that is through the water or whether that's through the word attached to the water, as will happen here at Second Service. Once you were given that gift of faith, you look the same. Right, everything appeared about you in the same way. You're living in the same body, in the same world, surrounded by the same people, but everything changed. So when you were given that gift of faith, your citizenship was transferred out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of light. You are now citizens of the kingdom of God's Son. You're citizens of the kingdom of Christ. And Scripture tells us that in this kingdom, everything is flipped upside down. That it's an upside-down kingdom, and everything that the world prizes, everything the world values and knows, is flipped on its head. Right? So in the kingdom of Christ, the first are last. The weak are strong. The sinful are righteous. The defeated are victorious. And all of that is true for us. All because of what Jesus won through living under the law and dying for us on the cross. We sit here today as sons and daughters of the king. And as citizens of that kingdom, we should know who our king is, right? And so that's what our entire text is about. It's about how God transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. And he says, this is who your king is. This is his work. And this is his nature. He is the image of the invisible God. So that means that Jesus is of one essence with the Father. They are of the same substance. They are equal. So this is our King is the visible image of the invisible God. It says he is the firstborn over all creation. A really interesting phrase. And that phrase and a misunderstanding about it, it led to one of the greatest controversies in Christian history. So there was a guy who read this and he said, well, if Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, that means that there was a time when Jesus didn't exist. If he was born, if he was created, then he must be a little bit less than God. Because God is eternal. He always has been. And so if there was a time when Jesus wasn't, that means he's a little bit lower than God. And it was to correct that error that the Nicene Creed was written. To correct that error and to be a faithful proclamation of what Scripture actually teaches. Jesus was indeed born. But he was born of a woman named Mary, and he was born by his own decision. It was his choice to humble himself, to take on human flesh. Yet even as someone who was born into this world that God created, he was the ruler over all of it. And he was the one responsible for creating it. Our text says, for in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Jesus and God are of the same substance. They are co-equal in their majesty, their glory. They are not first and second. They are of the same substance. And as our eternal God, who always has been, this reign of his, it didn't start recently. Our King is before all things, and all things hold together in him. So it's only because of his eternal goodness, his eternal providence, that life continues on this earth, that all things are held together to support this amazing, incredible creation that he has blessed us with. Now, besides those roles of being our creator, being our preserver of this world, our text says that he is our spiritual head as well. And that's another picture that the Bible uses often. It talks about the body of Christ in speaking about the church. When Scripture talks about the church, it refers to all believers everywhere. So anyone throughout time, throughout the world who have faith in Jesus and in the one true God. And it says that each one of those people who is a member of this invisible church is a member of that body of Christ, using our individual gifts and abilities to act as God's hands and feet on this earth. And of this body that's created of all of us, Jesus Christ is the head of that body. Now, when Jesus humbled himself during his earthly ministry, he showed exactly what's awaiting us, the citizens of his kingdom. Our text says he is the beginning, the first one who rose from the dead. And again, this talks about, too, the upside-down nature of the kingdom of Christ. Because when Christ died on the cross, no one could look at that and say, yes, this looks like victory. Right? When Jesus was arrested by his enemies, handed over, tried in a sham trial, and then nailed to the cross after he was tortured, and then brutally killed in front of everybody, no one would look at that and say, yes, this is victory. Even to Satan, it looked like Jesus had lost, that he had been defeated. But remember, our text says that this is the fullness of God dwelling in Christ in bodily form. And this is the reason why God chose to take on human flesh to come and save us, in order to die. That's the whole reason why he came. It was to die so that he could bear the weight of our sin, so that he could carry our shame and then pay for it, reconcile us. He could pay off our debt before God. And that's what Jesus did. By living perfectly and dying innocently, wearing our guilt and our shame, he established peace between us and God. And our King, he conquered our enemy of sin in a totally unconventional way. It wasn't through waging war. It wasn't through putting people to death. It was by experiencing death himself. But then he showed us that he was a conqueror over that enemy too. He was the first one, the pattern of which we will follow. For all of those who are in Christ, we're going to do the same thing he did. We too will rise from the dead. That's your King. And this is the one who has saved you, has pulled you out of the domain of darkness and made you an heir, made you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so that's not just a future blessing. That is a present blessing right here, right now. Because as you live in this domain of darkness, it's no longer pointless, right? Your life, your time here is no longer aimless. You understand that as you live for more than obtaining the material possessions that your heart craves. You live for more than striving for power and fame and wealth, the things that our dark world says are the greatest goods. You understand that there is more joy to be found in the light. You understand that that is what we crave, the light of the grace of God. And that searching after all of these things that this world says will make us happy only ends in more searching. But that standing in the light of God's grace, that brings fulfillment. That brings contentment and comfort. You understand that even as you look at this world and you see evil and sadness and destruction everywhere, you see the wickedness of people's hearts, and even if you watch the news and it looks to the world as if evil is overcoming good, that is not reality. Because you know that it's not that Jesus will overcome our enemies, but he has overcome our enemies. He has already overcome this world. And that gives us so much hope, right? That gives us so much confidence in what is to come, in the fact that we are forgiven, in the fact that we are going to heaven. And yet we still live here, and our nature still is one in which there is sin, right? We are at the same time saint and sinner. And so even as we live as citizens of the kingdom of light, we still feel the pull of the darkness, right? That darkness, it presents to us an allure, a constant temptation. Sometimes even more for us as God's people. Because we think, man, I know that I stand in the light and I want to do what's good. I want to follow God's commands and his will and his law. But how good would it feel to just step into the darkness for a little bit? Right? How good would it feel to just, in the secrecy of my own home, with no one else seeing, no one else has to know about it, I can indulge in these sins that specifically tempt me so much. And I can indulge in this sin and I can enjoy it. And then, since I know that God saved me, since I know that he redeemed me and died on the cross for me, I can step out of that darkness whenever I want. I can step back into the light of God's grace and I can receive his forgiveness. No one will ever know. There will be no consequences, no damage done whatsoever. When Jesus died on the cross, when he gave us that gift of faith, he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he rescued us from that line of thinking as well. But we need scripture to remind us of that constantly. Because as citizens of the kingdom of Christ, we don't live in a way that says, what is the most amount of sin that I can do and still be a Christian? Right? What is the furthest I can push the envelope and still be considered a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? If I spend 51% of my time in the light and 49% of my time in the darkness of sin, then my God will still love me and let me into heaven, right? When God gave us that gift of faith and made us his citizens, everything flipped upside down, including our view of pleasure, our view of sin, our view of righteousness, the way that we live our life. Because we live as children now of the light. We know what our King has done for us. We know that it was through his selflessness, it was through service, it was through humility, through his death, that he defeated our enemies. And we know the great gifts that he has given to us: forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, eternity in heaven with him, that he has given us these things totally free of charge. And we look at that and we know, hey, that's my motivation, right? That grace, that goodness of God, the gospel, that is what is going to motivate me to make my decisions for how I'm going to live today. Today I'm going to choose to love because I know how much my God has loved me. I have seen it. I've experienced it. I've known that Jesus has poured it out for me in the greatest way, in all its fullness on the cross, that he has made me his own dear child. I'm going to love because God has loved me. I'm going to forgive because I know how much I've been forgiven. Because my sin is in the darkness. And a lot of times no one else knows about it, right? And so we are the only ones who know how truly sinful we are. We can see those evil thoughts in our hearts and our minds, and I know how much my God has forgiven me, and in response, I will forgive others. Today, I know how much Jesus has served me, so I will turn around and serve other people as best I can. I will live in the light so that everyone can see what my King has done for me and what my King has done within me. I will let other people see the brightness of his glory and love reflecting off of me, that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. And in view of this good news, even God's law has changed. If you are in the darkness, if you are in your sin, if you know how evil you are and you know how wicked you are and you don't know your Savior, and God gives you his law that says, yes, you are sinful, and yes, sinners deserve hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. God's law is nothing but a curse. Right? But we are citizens of the light. We know that there is nothing we can do, but Jesus has saved us. He's done everything necessary. So as citizens of the light, now he has changed his law from a curse to a blessing. Now I know that God's law, the way that he wants me to live, he has not created me to follow these rules. That's not why he created me, just to follow his rules. But that he's given me these rules, this law, to be a blessing to me, to show me how to live with the most joy, the most peace in this life, to give me an opportunity when I recognize God's love and grace to say, Lord, how can I thank you? How can I show you my appreciation? He says, this is how. Walk in my ways. Follow my commands. His law has changed for us as children of the light from a curse into a wonderful blessing. You, as used to be citizens of the darkness, but you have been brought out of that darkness. Right? But as long as we live in these mortal bodies, as long as we live in this dark world, we're going to feel that pull. We're going to feel that darkness calling us back to where our actions and our thoughts are secret and hidden. So we need God's law to remind us that darkness is the enemy. Why we need his word to remind us that what we truly crave, what we truly need is the light. We need the light of God's grace. A reminder every single day that he is the one who heals us. He is the one who takes our brokenness and makes us whole. He is the one who takes our guilt and takes our sorrow over sin and turns those into confidence in our salvation, confidence that we will live in heaven forever. We need the light of God's glory, and because of our King, in whom we have redemption, we know we will be in that light forever. Amen. Please rise for the blessing. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to please open your bulletin to page